know you were destined without Christ to spend a godless eternity in a lake of fire? Now, that's not a happy thought, but Jesus stepped in. If you heard the gospel and you received him as Lord and Savior, I don't care what you came in here this morning with. I don't care if you're flat broke. I do care. But you've got something to rejoice in. Your family may be going crazy. Your world may be turned upside down. But if you've asked Christ into your heart and you serve him as your risen Lord, your born again spirit is enough to praise him for. Knowing you're going to heaven and living eternity with him. We could stand here for days and never exhaust just the worship that we need to give him, knowing we're going to heaven. 10 million years from now, I'll live with Christ. I'll never die. I'll never die. There's a world out there. They're going to hell. They don't know they're going to hell. They think they're doing all right. We've come in here this morning to worship our God and to be filled with our God and to make intercession for that world that's out there. We're a called church in this last day to bring in his sheep. There's a lot more of you out there. This morning we're going to continue to worship. I'm going to ask many of you to just come and lift up your voice to him. Give him every... Do not have your thoughts on the things of this world. What you're going to do after church, before church. You've had enough of that this week. Now's his time. Now's his time to lift up and give him the sacrifice of praise. In other words, he doesn't want secondhand praise. He wants everything that you can give him. So why don't many of you step out, come down here and lift up your voice. Give him all the praise. Lift your hands. Don't hide out there. If you're out there, you may not be hiding, but give him everything. Lift up your voice. Magnify him. Hallelujah. Let's do that together this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. You're invited to come down and praise with us. Step out. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We serve a living Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Marty, please get that song by Tommy Bates ready. Psalms 3, please. I accidentally slipped into this week, the book of Joshua. My God.
Hallelujah.
My God. You didn't mess with that man. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, more than I ever have in my life, there's something coming out of my spirit that I did not know existed. A place of I love yous, a place of I worship you, a place of I praise you regardless of what my soul tells me I can and what I cannot say. There is a fine line between the two. Listen to me. If you have ears to hear, there is a fine line between the two. My spirit keeps crying out every single moment, every single morning, every single second, every single minute, every single hour, every single day, every single week, every single month. My spirit is crying out, lift up your hands and worship. And let me tell you something. That's incredible that God is asking me to worship him through the place that he recreated me from. He's saying, worship me. He's saying, yes, Daddy, I will. But listen to me. The other part of this is there's a dividing line between our spirit and our flesh. Our flesh will speak on this wise. You're okay to worship right there where you're at. My friends, the Spirit of God's asking us to come up closer,
yes.
Come up higher. And if I've learned anything since January of this year, if you have ears to hear this. If I've learned anything since January the 24th of this year, the Holy Ghost has put in me through reading 1 John and the New Testament so many times, is a place of subjection in my spirit. First to the Lordship and the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and then to my pastors. Listen to this. If you have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Listen to me. Listen to me. Before you glory, before you amen, listen to what the Spirit of the Lord would say. I have submitted and am on a way to submit it to his Lordship more and more every day. But in this order, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and then right there in second place is submission to the people and submission to my pastor. I trust, I trust, as a man that spends time with Jesus myself, that a man that has committed his life to prayer and fasting, as Pastor Bronk, when he asked me, not as his associate, not as his friend, but as my pastor, when he asked me, friend, come up with me. Come to the front. Let's worship the Lord as a family. Our hearts cry should instantaneously be because this man walks in koinonia and fellowship with the Father. He's not asking for our money. He's not teaching us false doctrine. He wants me and you to come up higher with him unto the Father. The dividing line speaks like this. Our spirit is saying, coming up, but our flesh in logical form with persuasive words is saying this, you're fine where you're at. No one tells me what to do. I can worship him right here where I'm at. The flesh speaks on this wise and logic form. I am fine where I am at. No one can tell me where to worship. I am my own person. And that's fine. You're certainly not going to hell for that. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord more than ever wants me and you to congregate together as a family and to lift up our hands and to completely destroy the walls of Jericho. That's right. I'm telling you, our time. Right now, I want to be known. I want to be part of a church that has no conviction about going crazy to worship their God and their King. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, come on, let's get on with this Amen. Thing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Worship.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that as we've come into the holies of holies, as we stand in that place with you, we take it to the next place and we begin to intercede over our nation, over our city. Lord, we understand that those who will come in under the blood, they're going to have to receive their own personal forgiveness and washed. But we pray the prayer that the greatest intercessor that ever lived, your Son, the first begotten, prayed when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That their sins would not keep them from you visiting them. And we as intercessors pray that you'll come, that you'll forgive our land, that you'll forgive us, Lord, as the body of Christ for not standing stronger. We pray that, Lord, that you'll come and that our city will be washed, that our city will be cleansed. We pray that myriads of angels will come into this place. Father, we pray that conviction will come over this city and that you'll begin to heal marriages and families, Lord. We pray that the spirit of adultery will be pushed out of this city, run out of this city. The spirit of perversion, the spirit of fornication. Lord, we pray that all of everything that is evil in your sight, Lord. Lord, we pray that the altars of Satan and witchcraft be pulled down over this city in the name of Jesus. We pray that everything that, Lord God, is a mixture. There is no mixture in Christ. There is no mixture in Christ. Lord, we pray that voodoo and all of the enchantments of the enemy will be brought down over this city, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that a standard would be lifted up. God, we pray that the men will become men, that they'll be married to one wife and serve that wife in holiness and in purity, and in purity of thought and in purity of action. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray that you'll begin to first clean your church. We pray that you'll wash us fresh in the blood of Jesus. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our iniquities. Forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord. Wash us clean in the blood of Jesus. Wash our thoughts. Wash our understandings. Wash us, Lord, in every way, we pray. We give ourselves over to the power of the Holy One. There's none like you, Jesus. There's none like you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, we pray
Thank you.
That the God of Mammon will come down. that, Lord, we'll love not our life unto the death. We pray that the testimony of Christ, Lord, I pray the love of money will come down in this city. I pray that the love of money will come down in this city in Jesus' name. The outcry of those who have been mistreated in this city because the rich man has raised up for so many generations and treated the poor as he's treated them. And the poor has hated the rich man. And the rich man has hated the poor. Father, I pray these things come down over our city. I pray they be broken in the name of Jesus. We release your power. We have nothing in ourselves, Lord. All things are of you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. God, visit our universities. God, visit the cities around us. Lord, we pray for every church and every house of prayer and every place that is praying, Lord, like we're praying. We join together with them. Come back, Lord Jesus. Set up your millennial kingdom, Father. Take us through the days ahead, the hard times, Lord. And we thank you that for the great harvest that is coming in the planet. God, help us to get strong. We pray that, Lord, where there's been so much diversion, there's not an altar in the home, where the kids are not being taught to pray anymore. Lord, we pray that that will be established once again. Lord, we pray that our altars will be the greatest thing in our homes, Lord, that we'll not even be able to take our bread until we take our time in prayer. That, Lord, that we'll not be able to take anything until we take our time in prayer. Father, we become so diverted by the world. Forgive us. Wash us. Lord, we commit ourselves unto you. We give you all the praise. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we pray for the martyrs of the world. We pray that those that are giving their lives, Lord, even at this present time, that, Lord, your grace will continue to stand with them. Stand with them in this present hour, Lord. And give us, I pray, a heart, God, that will go into you so strong that there's nothing, Lord, that we're not willing to give up. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
If we cannot give up our time for prayer now, it's hard to imagine that we'd be willing to give our life at a later time. But Father, I pray that God, in these hours, we'll begin to humble ourselves, bend our knee, and call upon the God of heaven. There is only one God, and we praise and magnify you. The Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we praise and magnify you. As the first church was, so let us be.
Yes.
Let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we may be exalted in due season, casting all of our care upon you. We cannot make it without you, Father. We cannot make it without your Holy Ghost. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the thanksgiving. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory to you.
Worthy. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Should go around and give somebody a hug. Don't lose this atmosphere. Just continue to stay in it. Hallelujah, Jesus. You felt those waves of glory come through so strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just lift up your hands just a little bit more? Let's just worship him. Father, we just praise you. Glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy. Worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless him. Just worship him. Hallelujah. Magnify you. Father, we thank you for everything that you've provided in him. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Our strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Coming King. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Your glory. Everything that you've provided. We exalt you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just go ahead and as you're worshiping him, because it is a part of worship. Why don't you ask him what he'd have you to participate in bringing forward. I'm just going to worship a little bit more and then allow you to bring something down. But providing for something that's going forward in Christ is every bit part of worship, and you're also faithful. The world calls it sponsor. You ever had anybody come and say, "Will you sponsor me?" Why don't you sponsor this church? Sponsor me, make me stay in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, right now, what you'd have us to give, Lord. We know that we can't buy anything. Lord, you're not going to love us anymore after we give this morning, but we're asking you, touch the hearts. Magnify your love in us through your voice speaking to our spirits. Hallelujah. Two ways to give in the New Testament. If you're hearing from the Lord, he'll give you an amount. If you don't, whatever you purpose in your own heart. That's what 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 teaches us. So if you would like credit for it, just write out a check and put it in the envelope or cash or whatever. Hallelujah. But let's not stop this worship. If you have something, bring it down quietly and you can return to your seat. We won't fellowship now. So if you have something, go ahead. But let's just continue to worship. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Father, we just worship you. Thank you so much. We'll get it later. You can just... Hallelujah, Jesus. Just a few places that you can just look at a little bit here. Getting ready to receive a great harvest. And part of that anointing that came in worship was to build us up to that place where we could begin to make intercession over our city. One of the things that he's doing is he's, as you've heard me say a lot recently, that he's bringing forth a purging. He's bringing forth a purging in our life. In other words, those of us that have been born again, he's coming and he's asking more and more and more. Places of the flesh that in the past were maybe acceptable, we made excuse for and said, everybody does that. And all the Christians around me that I know do it. God doesn't grade everything on a curve. In other words, if If everybody else does it and it's not acceptable with God, it's still not acceptable. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the areas of the conscience, places of the soul where He's asking us to come up higher, purgings. But the only way that He can truly do that in a fashion in which you're willing to give yourself over and say, okay, I want to die more. I want to give myself over to the Lord in a greater fashion, is if He can place us in a place where we feel much more comfortable about who we are in Christ and what He's made us to be. You know, if you've been born again, I mean truly born again, not just lip service, but truly ask Christ into your life, there's something about you that loves righteousness and hates sin. And there should be something about you that when you see the world as it is, there's a part of us, the flesh, that could accept it. But the real you, the part of you that you've been created by the Holy Spirit to be, there's that part of you should hate the world. And it should hate sin. And if you do sin, you should go to the blood and ask for forgiveness and get under that blood. But saying all that, He wants you to understand something. You have been made, Ephesians tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, that we have been made the right, or that we've been made in the beginning when He made us in true righteousness and in true holiness. In other words, that's who you are. That's who your born-again nature is. Now, if the Holy Spirit can come to you and say, look, you're going to heaven because you've been born again. Now, will you turn the rest of your life over to me and allow me to work in you in such a way is that I can come, and because your life is being turned over more and more to me, not only in prayer, but you're saying yes to those places where I'm saying, okay, that may have been a gray area in your life before, but it can't be gray anymore. You know, the Word of God says perfect love casts out all fear. In other words, the more you know He loves you and the more that you're so secure in Him, you'll get to a place where you're willing to say, okay, you can have it all. You can have it all. You can have it all. Now, there's a prophecy that came forth recently, and I want to read it to you. And it's a prophecy that really begins to tell us really who we are and what we're about in Christ. And the prophecy title, whoever titled it, and I know where it came from, and I can assure it was from God. It says, you are not your struggles. Just listen. It says, God does not look at how far you come in the flesh as to how good of a son or daughter you are. He does not look at how much you have overcome as if you are a daughter today and not tomorrow. He only looks at it as what it is. It is your flesh. And He expects you to overcome it every day. He expects you to take it to the cross every day. But knowing that you're going to struggle with your flesh, He could not wait another moment. He did not want to wait until you were perfected in your flesh. He did not want to wait until heaven. He made a way for you to fellowship with Him as if you were perfect right now, today. And the only act it takes is a moment of humility to repent and thank Him for the blood of Jesus that washes you today of that sin. And that one act of humility gives you the ability to run into Him, to fellowship with Him, to enjoy Him like you were in heaven with Him. Let's not waste another moment, the Holy Spirit said. Let's not waste another day, another moment of acting like we are not in Him when we are already are. You are not your struggles. How many are glad of that? Hallelujah. I am not what I'm fighting today. Well, who are you? I am a son of the living God. You are a daughter of the living God. Hallelujah. You're going somewhere. You're not only going to heaven, you're going into revival. Hallelujah. And even while you're in your struggles, if you acknowledge, Lord, I am not what this is. I refuse to receive it. The Lord not only comes and visits you, but then he begins to use you as an intercessor and your authority to get other people saved. The enemy will continue always to try to challenge who you believe you are. He will always come. Matthew chapter 4, turn there with me for just a moment. Now, how many of you know that Jesus was perfect? He had no sin. He had a flesh that could sin, but he did not sin. The enemy came to him. John chapter 3, we'll start there just for a little bit. Hold your place there and then turn also over to Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. How many enjoy this weather? Isn't it good? Praise God. And the time is, I don't know if so many of you got here this morning because you just love the Lord or if the time fooled you. Hallelujah. But I'm glad you're here. What a wonderful congregation this morning of people. We appreciate you and love you so much. Candy and I love you with all our hearts. Homer and Rosie love you with all their hearts. And I hope you love Homer. Hallelujah. I know you do. Jesus in John chapter 3, the Word of God says here that verse 13, and then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, allow it to be so now, or suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, or he did what Jesus asked him to do. He baptized him. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to hear a voice from heaven saying that? But you know what? The voice from heaven is saying it all the time. Romans 8 says that we which are His have the Spirit in us, that new nature that cries what? Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness. In other words, the Holy Ghost bears witness and says, yes, I'm on the inside. Your daddy is God. Your Father is God. We'll hear an actual literal voice booms out of heaven and says and pronounces to him and everyone around him, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The continuation, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, substitution and identification. Jesus taught us to pray this, our Father, do what? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. How many of you know it's your Father's will not to lead you into temptation? He's not the one that's sending the test and trials to destroy you. It's the enemy. But yet, here, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into these. Why? Because he's going to stand in a substitution for you. He's going to stand in a place where everything that he died or everything that he stood up for against the enemy, for you and me, we can identify with him and say, you know what? My Lord and Savior's already been through this. He's already been through it. So I make the identification with him. I don't have to go through this. I can stand in him, even though you're at my door. We go through things, but we don't go through them alone. We stand in Christ and say, he's already been through here. He's already passed through here. So it's not me that's going through it. It's Christ in me. I'm going to stand in him. The very first thing that the Word says here, that when he had fasted, Christ had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said unto him, What did he say? It says in word here, do you have your Bibles open? It says that the enemy said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What had God just said to Jesus just 40 days earlier? He just said to him, you are my son. And the very first thing that the enemy comes to him, the word of God says in the book of Revelation, it says that the enemy is a continual accuser of the brethren. Now, I'm not going to go into the time in which that frame is taking place, but it's indicative of who the enemy is. The word says he's an accuser of the brethren, and he continually, the word said there in that place in the book of Revelation, that he accuses the family of God or the brethren continually before the Lord. Well, even if that's in an age to come, I can tell you that's still his nature. And that accusing is not only before God, it's before the church. He wants you to believe that you're not what your father says that you are. He wants you to believe that you can't do what your father says that you can do. He wants you to believe that you're still just a sinner saved by grace. He wants you to believe that you still have all of the capacity to sin that you once had. You don't. If you've been born again, there's something that's changed on the inside of you. And the very first thing that the enemy comes to Jesus was, he began to question what God had said. Well, this is the first temptation. And if you go back to the book of Genesis to chapter 3, what Jesus is about to defeat here is the very same thing that Adam went through but did not defeat. He did not stand up. He did not. What was Adam supposed to do? Adam was supposed to do the same thing that Jesus did, and we'll see this in just a moment. But in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, if you're there with me, just flip over there real quick, but I'll read it. It says in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And it's talking about Satan, Lucifer himself. Any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Listen to what the liar says. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, notice this. We've covered this before. She didn't have to go find Adam. She didn't have to go, well, let me go look up my husband and tell him what I've done. The word says that she just passed it over to him. He was standing right there. He wasn't someplace else. Her covering was right beside of her. Her covering was listening to this dialogue that she was having with Satan. And rather than, here's the great treason that took place. Here's the great sin. Instead of stepping up and stepping between her and the devil and saying, look, shut up. Shut up. Because the word of God, you're a liar. God is true. And if God said, we'll die, we'll die. We'll not eat of this truth. She turns and gives to her husband. And the word says that he ate. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, when she ate, the word says that she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. I don't know what the time frame was between she gave it to him, but we know that he and him consuming, but we do know this, he ate second. And what he probably was doing was this. He was probably testing the waters. He was looking at her and saying, okay, she didn't fall down. She still looks like Eve. She don't even look like she's getting sick. Are you getting sick? No. He had to begin in those few moments, however long that lasted. In that moment in time, Satan steps in Why? Because he begins to reason with his mind. Don't reason with Satan. Rule over him. The moment that you begin to reason with him in your mind or with your mind, that's the first place that he begins to take you away from your power to rule over him. And no doubt Adam began to look and say, well, God said we'll die. She's not dead. She's not even looking like she's getting sick. So he must have reasoned, well, what God said must not really be true. Here when Jesus was tempted of the enemy, and so Adam began to reason. As he reasoned, he decided, okay, well, if she's not going to die, well, I can eat thereof also, because evidently what God said is not a total word of truth. And so his reasoning began to take him into a place where he began to fight the enemy with his mind and with his senses. And he gave in to sin thereof. Now Jesus, when he was tempted, the enemy came to him and he began to do the same thing that he did with Adam. He began to go against the very word of God. Exactly what God's word said. Everything in your life that ever has any power in it is based on the word of God. Your ability to stand and to go forward is based on the word of God. That unction inside of you, it's the word of God bearing witness. No matter what Satan comes with, you have to stand on the word of God. Now, Jesus was tempted in this. The very first thing he comes, just 40 days earlier, God said, you're my son. And the next thing, Satan says, if thou be the son of God. Now, Jesus could have begun to argue with him. In fact, he had an alternative here. Satan began to say, look, he says, if thou be the, in verse 3 says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What reasoning would Jesus could have had at that point in time? He could have said, look, I know that I am the Son of God, and I know that who I am, my Father just said that I am, and I know that I am. I have the witness down on the side of me. I have that new nature. And I am baptized. His human spirit was baptized with the Holy Ghost. He knew that. But rather than doing what he did, if he would have begun to fight it in the temptation of the flesh, if he would have begun to say, okay, I'm going to prove to you who I am. I'm going to show you that I have the power to work this miracle. There's no Old Testament command about not performing miracles and turning stones into bread. In fact, Jesus worked many miracles where he changed the molecular structure of things. His first miracle was in Canaan of Galilee, where he changed the water into wine. The point is this: if Jesus would have begun to fight the enemy with his flesh, he would have begun right there to go the same way Adam went. If he would have begun to fight him and say, okay, all right, I'm going to prove to you who I am by doing it this way. Listen, the only way that we stay in victory is to stay in the Word of God and to do it God's way. The only way that we stay in, Jesus says in verse 4, he says, it is what? Written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, what word was he standing on? The very Word of God, but the word that had just been spoken to him 40 days earlier, you are my son. And Jesus was holding to that. Listen, folks. As we're standing out there and you're standing over your home, as you're standing over your marriages, your wishful thinking is not going to cause the enemy to leave your house. It's not going to cause the enemy to leave your finances. The only thing that's going to change your finances, change your marriage, change the ugliness of many of the things and the circumstances is the Word of God and the Word of God only. And you have to put it in your mouth. You have to do the very same thing that Jesus, you have to say, it is written. Hallelujah. It is written. Now the enemy's going to come to accuse you. He's going to come to say, you're not really who you think you are. That's why it's important to put this word inside of you. Listen, if you don't have this word inside of you, not much is going to come out when you're attacked. That's why it's important to get it in you all the time as much as possible, because not only are you being edified by it, you're also preparing yourself for future attack. Hallelujah. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I do know this. If I stay in this word, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Jesus did not begin to reason with him and say, you know what? Which way should I go here, Father? I can perform the miracle. I can scatter the enemy by raising up a great miracle of power. He didn't work in a miracle there. He just stood on the word of God. Sometimes the word of God is more powerful than a miracle. Sometimes the word of God is what produces, always is what produces the miracle. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but you should get a clue. The devil knows the word of God better than most Christians. That's why it's important to pray in tongues. Because a lot of times Christians will say, you know what, I believe God is teaching me something. And I believe God's given me a new doctrine. Really? Yeah. And they begin to tell you what they believe the Holy Spirit is speaking. Listen, there's a lot of voices out there. And the only way that you're going to know for sure if you're listening to the Holy Ghost or some kind of other ghost, some other spirit that's not holy, is you need to be filled with the Spirit and praying in other tongues, because something will rise up on the inside of you even when it sounds so close. Because sometimes it can sound so close to the truth that you could swear on a stack of Bibles. But I can tell you this, it does one thing. It'll get you a little bit off track today. And if it can get you a little bit off track today, it'll get you a little bit off track tomorrow. It's just like, as I was saying the other day, it's like a big train. One error, though it may be slight, will lead to another. And it's hooked up to another boxcar of error, to where that before long it'll have you so believing so many crazy things. I can tell you this, that you will begin to believe things that you never thought possible if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Because the enemy will come. He'll come with "it is written." He'll come with reasonings of the mind. You cannot stand in the power of your mind. Jesus did not say, okay, I'll prove to you who I am. Listen, if Jesus would have began his earthly ministry by doing it his way, the rest of his ministry would have been this: I'll make up my mind and see if God will bless it. Listen, we don't make up our mind and then say, God, will you come and bless what we're doing? We have to find every day the will of the Father. And if we enter into that, we don't have to ask God to bless it. He'll always come and bless it. He'll always be a part of what we're doing. The very first temptation was this, that Jesus took matters in his own hands. You know, every day that we live as Christians, we get an opportunity. From the very moment that we get out of bed, we get the opportunity to begin to take matters in our own hands. Am I going to go through this day depending on the Holy Ghost? Listen, it's important to pray in tongues, but treat the Holy Spirit like he's real. Treat the Holy Spirit just like he's real, because he is. Holy Spirit, I'm going to go across town. I need you to lead and guide me. I need you to show me what the will of the Father is. Help me. Don't begin to depend on your own strength. Depend on his strength on a daily basis. And when the enemy comes in and he begins to quote the word of God at you, and he begins to try to demoralize you, because that's what he wanted to do with Jesus. He wanted Jesus to begin to question, well, am I or am I not? You think, well, that's Jesus, that's a son, that's not possible. Listen, he was a human being. He could have put doubt in his mind. And Jesus could have begun to reason, well, I don't know, I think from like 75%, I'm sure. No, Jesus did not begin to take it in a reasoning fashion. He stood up and said, look, Satan comes and says, he begins to quote the word of God. Jesus comes right back with the word of God. Listen, the word that you carry by the Holy Spirit will trump any perverted word. There's no word in here that's perverted, but when Satan tries to use it, it's perverted. When the enemy comes to you and tries to pervert the word of God by trying to clamp down on you and begin to try to destroy the image of who you are in Christ Jesus, that's when it's so important that you don't begin to try to think happy thoughts. You don't try to begin to encourage yourself by yourself. You stand up and say, Satan, listen, It is written. It is written. Well, it, written what? Go in here and find out what it's written for you, for the purpose of your life. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, and Jesus said unto him, well, it says in verse 6, it said, and Satan said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now, he's just a liar. Everything he comes with is a lie. Psalms 91 doesn't say at any time. It says, because he's saying here at any time, he's saying, look, it doesn't matter what you do. He tempted Jesus to commit suicide. Psalms 91 says that if you dash your foot against, that he will keep you. If you come into a place, Psalms 91, let's turn there real quick, because I don't want to quote it of myself. I want to show you how perverted he gets with the truth. In chapter 4, the enemy says, in their hands concerning the enemies, they shall bear thee up, the angels, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now Psalms 91, verse 11 says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. In other words, if something's about to happen, not if you make it happen, not if you are about to commit suicide. Jesus stood up with the counteracting word of God and said this in verse 7, unto him, it is written again. How many times do I need to say this, Pastor, if the enemy comes at me? All day, if necessary. Wear him out with the word of God. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, verse 8, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship me. Do you know what? If you understand what happened to Jesus here, you can vividly understand what happened to Adam in the garden. That wasn't just an eating of fruit. That was a treason of turning over himself to the enemy. That was an actual, in a certain way, when Satan said to Jesus in verse 10, he says this, then said, or verse 9, he said, he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Do you know Satan wants worship? He wants worship. Even if you don't know you're giving him worship. In other words, if there are places in your life that you're submitting to him. Now, I don't know any Christian that will turn and worship the devil blatantly. But subtly, the enemy wants you to turn parts of your life over to him and to begin to bend the knee. Jesus said unto him in verse 10, he said, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Listen, we're going into revival. I believe that so many of you are here this morning because you believe that and feel the atmosphere. How many of you appreciated that exhortation that Homer gave this morning? We're going in together. And one of the things that you need to understand every day is that your righteousness depends on how much of the Word of God you get in you. You're not your struggles. You're not what Satan says that you are, but you must change your life through the power of the Word of God. And when he comes as an accuser of the brethren, wishful thinking and wishful thoughts are not going to turn him. We must turn him as Jesus turned him. We must say, it is written. It is written. It is written. It's written. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. How many just enjoyed those waves of power that came this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. How many are blessed in this day? Yes, one more time, would you just lift your hands and begin to worship him? We love you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Magnify you. Hallelujah. We just bless you, Jesus. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. If you're in here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, if you're in here and you're not sure if you are standing in a place where Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, say, I would like to stand up against the devil, but Pastor, I really don't know if I... He may have too much inside of me. He may have too much of my life. It's all washed away by the blood of Jesus. If you need prayer this morning, just raise your hand right there where you're at. We'll pray for you if you're in a place of decision and saying, I'm not sure where I'm at with God, if you need prayer. Is there anybody here? You don't know if you have Jesus in your life. Is there anybody? I want you to go out of here without the opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, Immokalee is saved. We just pray that your glory will fall on us this afternoon as we go to our homes, that we'll speak the word of God, that we'll pray the word of God, we'll stand up with the word. We thank you, Lord. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. We commit them unto you. Let their lives go forward in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a great big hug next to you.